We don't have the girls here today, so we're going to move on to my sermon. And I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. Happy Valentine's Day. And I'm so happy this morning. My friend Sharon Rice is here as a visitor. Sharon and I go about 7-8 years back. You were a missionary at Thailand and came home to care for her mother. She has a heart of gold. And when she and I get in the car and travel anywhere, we have at least half of the world's problems solved by the time we get home. So we're blessed to have Sharon here today. The season of Lent begins this Friday with Ash Wednesday. Lent is the beginning of 40 days preparation for Easter. It begins a time of reflection and gives us time to prepare for Easter. Okay, so I live with my roommates who are 84, and with the politics that's happening on TV, I'm trying to get them away from TV, and so we ended up watching the film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which stars Tom Hanks, but it's a story about Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. And as I'm doing my sermon, sitting on the couch, I'm watching this, and Fred Rogers is saying, and the characters are saying amazing things. So those of you that are here can see, like, my little notes. My parents are going, that's a really good thing. Wow, I didn't know he said that. I didn't know that he felt that way. So we're all around I should have gotten another sheet of paper to write my notes. But this is what my 84-year-old roommates and I wrote about this movie. Fred Rogers believed this truly, that we can change a broken world with our words. He said, there is no life free of pain. He also said, I bet you are strong on the inside. How many of us, when we're upset or anxious, think, I am strong on the inside? Mr. Rogers encourages us to think, stop and think about all the people who loved us into being. Your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your neighbors, your coworkers. Who has loved you into being? Be thankful for them. He said, there is no one in the world like you, and I like you. We should be saying that to more people. There's no one like you. He loved broken people. Fred Rogers always said, it's wonderful to meet you. Isn't that a great way to be greeted? It's wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to meet you. He knew and shared often that we can make our plans, but the final outcome is in God's hands. Mr. Rogers' wife said, Fred would not be happy being called a saint. This is what he did. He read scripture every day. He practiced patience. He prays for people by name. We're going to be talking about prayer today. He prayed for people by name. And he swims. He exercises. One of his goals was to find a positive way to deal with all of one's feelings. What an amazing person. And what a joyful way to spend an afternoon with my roommates. If you have the opportunity, it's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. God answers prayer. Don Cousins wrote about prayer. The Holy Spirit intercedes and causes the Father's light to breathe our lives. The Holy Spirit pleads on our behalf. We surely can and sure should praise the Lord for this. Throughout the rest of my sermon, I'm going to be sharing different parts of a poem called Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, by Joachim Neander. And each time I get to the part of the poem, it will start with Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Come all who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. God wants you to seek him. He wants you to run to him and to spend time with him. And we truly benefit from having the Holy Spirit praying for us as he knows our needs and what specifically we are asking for, even if we don't say it out loud. The Spirit is our connection to the Father, and our Father delights in hearing our prayers. I'm reading from Romans 8, 26 through 29. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows that the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We don't need to be perfect prayers. We need not feel frustrated when we are praying, ever. Don't feel frustrated. Don't feel like you are a burden to him. Trials bring on the most passionate prayers, drawing us closer to God. We should never feel as though we are a burden to him. His unconditional love for us is truly a blessing. We may feel small, perhaps weak, when we pray, not knowing how to pray or what to pray. Know that God's will be done. It is my prayer that you find comfort in knowing that God knows our hearts more than our words can say. God knows our thoughts and our feelings when we cannot express it. And sometimes God has to prepare things within us or on the other end before he is ready to answer a prayer. Tim Chester wrote in his book, Enjoying God, when we bring our request before God, we are affirming that he's both willing and able. We glorify both his power and his love. We're treating him as the kind, capable father that he is. And so he's honored by our prayers. It is my hope that we have been in prayer while reading our verse from last week, Romans 8:28. I shared it earlier. Perhaps we can say it together. If you know it, if you've been working on it, say it with me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Memorizing helps to internalize the message. You guys did a great job, those that are here with me. That was awesome. Memorizing helps to internalize the message so that we are better able to do what the Bible says. Our Lord loves to hear from us in prayer. Sometimes we feel exhausted or scared. Sometimes, honestly, when things aren't going well, instead of saying, Dear Lord or Heavenly Father, I go, Oh, Dear Lord. I don't know if that's the proper way to start a prayer with an exhaustive, Oh. But that's just what I do, and I notice it, and I catch myself, and I know that God is listening, and it's okay, no matter how you start your prayer. I know that he already knows how I feel. I know that he already knows what's going on in my life. I have come to recognize that through prayer, I have the opportunity to grow in my relationship with him. I also know that through these prayers, I have another opportunity to enjoy my relationship with him. So to grow and to enjoy my friendship with God, what a gift. Praise the Lord above all things, so wondrously reigning, sheltering you under his wings and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordaining? God may be slow to respond to our prayer. Know that God is still aware of it. Examples may be when someone is praying for healing, when someone has a career decision, or when a church is looking for a pastor. These are some things that may be slow with responses from God, but know that he is working on it. Again, it might be within you, or it might be within the person or the situation at the other end. John 11 through 15 is an example of God's slow to react. A man named Lazarus, I'm starting with John 11, 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, who truly was their very good friend, sent this message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your friend is sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected, "Rabbi, they said only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going to go there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, we can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of the world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." And then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. And so he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, but now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." When the messengers ran to Jesus about Lazarus dying, Jesus remained there for 2 days before traveling back. Jesus of Nazareth was always welcomed into this family's home, and Mary and Martha could not believe that Jesus didn't come back immediately. The sisters and the neighbors began to mourn Lazarus and wondered where Jesus was. Jesus felt glad that he was not there. As a matter of fact, he knew that Lazarus would be dead when he got there. He knew the community people would see that he was dead, and that these people would also see Lazarus rise. And those that saw this happen and heard the story would only grow in their faith. The answer to prayer was slow and purposeful. Praise the Lord, who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If his love, he befriends you. If your prayer request is contrary to God's will, you may receive a no about your prayer request. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 39 is an example wherein Jesus' prayer was denied. Matthew 26, starting with 36. "And then Jesus went with them to the olive groves called Gethsemane, and he said, 'Sit here while I go over there to pray.' He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.' In the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in deep distress. This prayer was not fulfilled so that God's plan for redemption would occur. Jesus' victory would be at that cross. It was God's timing. Perhaps you need to grow spiritually before God gives you a yes to your prayer. When your spiritual condition is right, you will be able to handle what is asked for. James 4, verses 2 and 3, shares a maturing opportunity to be able to grow in the Spirit. James is sharing with Jewish Christians who have scattered after Stephen's death. James 4, starting at 2. You want what you don't have, and so you scheme and kill to get it. But you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. They were encouraged to be striving to live by good deeds and faith-filled lives. We are reminded that we have a great power through prayer. It is a spiritually destitute person who will not ask for what is needed in prayer with God. God's will be done. Purposeful prayer aligns our will with God's will as we ask for His will to be done. Theologian Spurgeon wrote, "If you may have everything by asking and nothing without asking, I beg you to see how absolutely vital prayer is, and I beseech you to abound in it. Do you know, brothers, what great things are to be had for by asking? Have you ever thought of it? Does it not stimulate you to pray fervently? All heaven lies before the grasp of the asking man. All the promises of God are rich and inexhaustible, and their fulfillment is to be had by prayer." When your spiritual state of mind or your spiritual state is in tune with God at the time and is appropriate with God's will, your request will be answered with a yes. I'm sharing from Acts 12, 5 through 17, starting at Acts 12. "But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell." I'm moved when I hear that. I'm moved because people do see angels, and the angels do God's work. And through prayer, there was truly a need. "Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, 'Quick, get up!' And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, 'Get dressed and put on your sandals.' And he did. 'But now put on your coat and follow me,' the angel ordered. And so Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. And so they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. 'It's really true,' he said. 'The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me.' When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door on the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, 'Peter is standing at the door.' 'You're out of your mind,' they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said. And then he went to another place. Luke writes in this historical narrative that Herod had imprisoned Peter and that Peter miraculously escaped from prison. The church members knew Peter was heavenly guarded, but they continuously prayed for him and for his release. Through prayer and the presence of our holy God, the request to be set free truly occurred. The angel appeared to set him free. Peter sensed the will of God and left the prison to go to the Christians who had been praying for him. When you make your requests and the spiritual conditions in your heart are appropriate at the right time, prayers are answered. Know that your prayers will be answered. It may be a slow response. It may be a no response. It may be a grow response. Or it may be a yes response. Just know that it truly is God's response. Henry Blackaby and Claude King wrote, "Your personal prayer life may primarily be a one-way communication, you talking to God. You may think that, but prayer is more than that. Prayer includes listening as well. In fact, what God says in prayer is far more important than what you say. Prayer is a relationship, not a religious activity. Prayer is designed more to adjust you to God than to adjust God to you. God doesn't need your prayer, but he wants your prayer. You need to pray, we need to pray, because of what God wants to do in and through our lives during our prayers. God speaks to his people by the Holy Spirit through prayer. Genuine prayer does not lead to an encounter with God. It is an encounter with God. We need to know the response to our prayer is what is best for us at that moment in time. God's will is discovered through the intentions of our hearts and with the engagements that we have with the Holy Spirit. As we pray more, we become more attuned to the Spirit's leading. Our spiritual condition becomes more righteous, and we become more aware of those who are in need around us. Praise the Lord. Oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly forever adore him. Let's pray. We praise you, God, for understanding our prayers even when we are unable to express them in words. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, with the full measure of you pushing out every ounce of anxiety. We praise you for the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We lift up to you those who are feeling weak or ill. May you comfort them. We pray for those who have not yet welcomed a relationship for you. May their hearts be open to your love. And we thank you for hearing and responding to our prayers. Bless Sharon, Sandra, Jeff, Eloise, Hank, Deb, Rose and Hope, Janine, Andrew, Kathy, Dan, Jen, Matt, Kathy, Alberta, Florence, Becky, Justin, Ty, Kaylee, Jake and Donna, Marion, Jen, Bob and Mary, and all those that are listening today, and all those who are not able to listen today. May your will be done. Amen.